have hope here on earth in regard to Jesus Christ, then, boy, it seems like this verse says, you are most pitiable. It's the Easter verse coming up.
KFUO Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD. Worldwide at KFUO.org.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.
And we're back on the air here, Law and Gospel, on this Monday, March the 25th, in the year of our Lord, 2013. If I were to tell you that while you're here on earth and you have hope in Christ that you are most pitiable, I think that would cause some real problems. But it appears we have an Easter verse that talks about that precisely. The Easter verse is from the resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll kind of take a look at this right now. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Now, even the English gives you some insight as to what we're looking at here. The verse doesn't say that if in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. It says instead, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. What is that talking about? Well, again, we need to look at the context. Paul is writing about that there are some people in the church at Corinth who don't think that, guess what? There is a resurrection of the dead. So in verse 12, which is seven verses before our verse, but you need to understand the context. If Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Have you met somebody like that today? A person who believes that when they die, that is it. They go into the grave and nothing else happens? Paul is going to make the point that if you understand that Christ is raised from the dead, then you really can't be talking about that there is no resurrection of the dead. And he does that in the next verse 13. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Now, of course, for an unbeliever, they wouldn't be bothered by that. Even for those who maybe have evidence that Christ rose from the dead, it doesn't follow that everybody else is going to rise from the dead. In fact, those who have risen from the dead up to that point are all now dead. Remember the widow's son that Elijah raised from the dead? He's not living today. He died. Lazarus was raised from the dead, and others that Jesus raised from the dead during his earthly ministry, they're all dead. They died. Now, Jesus is the only one who has been raised from the dead who hasn't died. Some people may suggest, well, that's because he's divine. He won't ever die. But we're human beings. The fact of the matter is, it's not a logical tie-in to say that because Christ is risen from the dead, then everybody else will. The only reason we know that all of us will, all who trust in Jesus will rise from the dead on that day of judgment, is because the Bible tells us that on that last day, even those in the graves will come forth and be rejoined with their spirits. But Paul is making a much more important point than just the historical validity that people are going to be rising from the dead. A much more important point. Verse 14 begins it. If Christ is not risen, then our faith, our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. What does that mean? Vain. Well, it kind of comes from that word of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, everything is vanity. And the writer to Ecclesiastes kind of goes through life saying, look at all the things that I've built up. When I die, they all go to people who really didn't work for them, perhaps my sons and my daughters. Vanity is vanity. What's the use of working hard here on earth? So also, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then our preaching is empty. You can, by the way, hear a lot of empty preaching. Just turn on most other radio stations, and you rarely hear how the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead justifies you. You probably will never even hear the word justify on most radio stations, because the Bible is really looked at as principles of life today, not doctrines of salvation. But for those of us who understand the Christian faith, if Christ hasn't risen, then we might as well stop preaching, because it's empty words. It means nothing. Our preaching is nothingness. Your faith is relying on nothingness. That's why I could never understand when I had professors who said they believed the doctrines of the gospel but denied the historical events behind them. That didn't make any sense to me. If Christ has not truly risen in the flesh, then why would you believe the gospel? Namely, that because of his resurrection, your sins are forgiven. I actually had a professor who did not think it would be impossible to find the body of Jesus or the bones of Jesus still in the grave. He once challenged me. He said, Tom, would your faith be lost if they found the bones of Jesus in a grave? I said, yes. He said, well, see, you worship the Bible. I worship Jesus. Well, I understood what he was saying, because once God says it, I believe it. That settles it. But for him, no. What was more important were the teachings that all of the historical knowledge in the Bible was pointing to. I mean, this was a typical professor who also didn't believe in the creation of the world in six 24-hour days. He thought the story of Genesis was mythological, to make a point rather than to be the point. So Paul says, if Christ is not risen, here's verse 15, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. You know, it'd be like me going around saying, I have this wonderful computer I like to sell to you. I did a lot of work in putting it together. Then somebody finds out that I bought it used from a junkyard. Now, are they going to believe anything else I say about the computer? It may not even work. They've already caught me in a lie. I didn't put it together. Then I bought it from a junkyard. Who throws good computers into a junkyard? So also, if we're preaching the reason we have hope is because Christ is risen from the dead, then we find out he didn't rise from the dead. Guess what? Well, verse 16. If the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. We're still not at the worst point. And that worst point comes in verse 17. This is what Easter is all about, folks. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. See, this is where God relates the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to the forgiveness of sins. For if he is not risen from the dead, we have no confirmation from God the Father that what he did on the cross was sufficient. If he's not risen from the dead, he's still in the grave. What's he doing in the grave? Well, there's no confirmation that what happened on the cross was sufficient. Maybe he's still paying for your sins. Well, whatever the case, if he hasn't risen from the dead, then he's also a liar. Because he said to his disciples, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, be crucified, but 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. So Jesus doesn't rise from the dead? What does that say about him? Now, a lot of people have made this point that if Jesus is truly not God and having been crucified, also raised from the dead, then he's the biggest liar in the world. Don't follow him as your savior, because he didn't save you if he's still in the grave, because you are still in your sins. Verse 18 goes on, not only you will not be saved, but you know all those that you have loved who were believers in Jesus and who have died? Listen to verse 18. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Fallen asleep is just a euphemism for talking about death. In fact, we see that on a lot of tombstones. Asleep in Jesus. Sometimes you see RIP, R-I-P. That's rest in peace. But asleep in Jesus, boy, that has a tonnage of meaning. Because what it's saying is, you're not dead in Jesus, you're asleep. Now, if somebody is asleep, you walk into a bedroom and there's no movement out of the bed, and you say, I wonder if the person's died, and you say something and he opens his eyes and sits up, oh, you're only asleep. See, asleep means you're still alive, you're still conscious. And the Christian never really dies. For when you go to heaven, when you die as a Christian, your spirit immediately goes to heaven. So you still exist. Your body, yes, it's in the grave, it's dormant. But it too will be risen from the dead. It's kind of an important point that we make in light of Jesus' words to the thief on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. I just simply want to ask this question. If Jesus doesn't rise from the dead for 3 days, what does he mean, today you will be with me in paradise? He himself answers that question in another word from the cross. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus died like all human beings die, where their spirit departs from their body and either goes into eternal torment or into heavenly bliss. Jesus and the thief went into heavenly bliss on Friday, not on Sunday. The thief's body is still in the grave until Judgment Day, but Jesus' body has risen from the grave 3 days later. And that resurrection is the high point of the church's year, to the degree that even during the season of Lent, when we're talking about the sufferings of Christ, Sundays are still considered Easter Sundays. Every Sunday is an Easter Sunday. There are certain things that I make sure are in a sermon. Number one, the cross. Number two, the resurrection. Number three, baptism. Number four, the Lord's Supper. And also the ascension, that's got some very important ramifications for our life here on earth today. Are you beginning to understand the context here? Paul isn't talking about Jesus while he was still on earth. He's talking about after he was placed into the grave, what happened to his body. It was raised. And our bodies also will be raised from the dead. Why do we know that? Because that's what God says. What do you mean, that's what God says? Well, he talks about it. Again, in the epistles, we find it a number of times. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is probably one of the best. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Okay, those are believers in Christ. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Okay, see, now there's the word hope again. We're going to bring it back to bear in 1 Corinthians 15 in a moment. What's the hope we have? We're going to see our loved ones again in Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Ah. So on Judgment Day, when Jesus appears on the great clouds of heaven as judge of all the earth, he will bring with him the spirits of all the departed. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, okay, those who are on earth when Judgment Day comes, that we will by no means go ahead of those who are asleep into heaven. You see, it's going to be simultaneously that those he brings back in the spirit and those of us here on earth, guess what's going to happen? We're going to get new bodies, both of us, and be in heaven with Jesus. 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Okay, those are the bodies in the graves. And we who are alive, okay, those are those of us who are on earth on Judgment Day, and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. See, there's the hope. That's the final hope. That we're going to a place where there are no more tears, death, suffering, sickness, and so forth. Now, in light of that passage and the 1 Corinthians 15 passage, we begin to see what Paul is saying when he says in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. The point he's making is this. If your hope in Christ is bounded by your life here on earth and there is no hope for the afterlife, then you are to be most pitied. Why? Because a lot of things happen on earth that you're not really enjoying. You certainly don't look forward to. So if this life on earth is all that there is, then for many people, they ought to be pitied. Now, I've had a really good life in comparison to the vast majority of people on earth. There are some people on earth that are in imprisonment, or in slavery, or under terrible governments their whole life. They have very little joy and peace. Can you imagine they have no hope for what's coming in the afterlife? Do you understand what Paul is saying? That they are indeed, of all men, the most pitiable. Because there really is no hope. If, for example, you're an evolutionist, there is no hope. Because evolution doesn't necessitate God, as it's presently taught. So if there is no God, there are no promises, there is no death, there is no resurrection. In fact, the death, and particularly the resurrection of Jesus, go contrary to a worldview that includes evolution in it. I just don't understand people who believe in evolution. You really look at a dog and think you come from a dog? I mean, well, some people say, well, no, that's not the specific species. Well, what species do you want to choose? It used to be monkeys. But the fact is, it had to start out really, really, really tiny as an amoeba. And you come from that? This is so ridiculous that people believe in evolution. The things that a human body has, you don't see any steps in the evolutionary scale that leads to this. All of a sudden, it's just there? It takes far greater faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in what the Bible says, that God created the world with age. Oh, what do I mean by that? Very simple. Adam and Eve, when they were created, when they were one day old, they probably looked like teenagers or people in 20 years old or so. If a doctor had walked in to the second day of creation, there was no way he would guess that they were only 2 days old. I'm talking about the days after they were created. No. They were created with age. They weren't little babies. They were grown adults. So why doesn't God do that with everything? Like a tree. When he created a tree, it looked like a tree. Normal growing time, what, 10 years? No. 1 second. Let there be, and there was. It is so much rationally more simple to believe in creation than it is to believe in evolution, particularly since there is no scientific evidence for evolution. Here's the kind of evidence you'll hear. Well, we know those stars are millions and millions and millions of miles away from the Earth, and it would take a billion years for the light to reach the Earth, therefore the Earth must be a billion years old. Well, that's assuming when God created the stars, they couldn't be seen by Adam and Eve on the first day of creation. Of course they could be seen, because the light had already reached the Earth. That's how he created them. Every argument of evolution falls down in the face of the revelation of Scripture. But the biggest problem with evolution is there's no need for ethics. There's no hope for the future, because evolution doesn't permit a future life after death. Just talk to evolutionists who really believe in it, who understand that it has to come by chance, because there is no God. And these Christians who make up a God that he created the world through evolution, that's just a white lie of Satan, just to get people confused. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is probably the most important event contrary to evolution. Because the same one who created the world, everything, according to John chapter 1, in 6 24-hour days, is the same one who died and was raised from the dead in 72 hours. You can't believe the latter and think that the former is wrong, because it's the same God who wrote down both. While there is no evidence, one could say, for a 6 24-hour day creation, well, there's certainly no evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead for your justification. Whether he rose from the dead or not is really superfluous if you don't have any hope attached to it. And the evidence for that hope only comes from the Word of God. And when faith believes it, that becomes the evidence, so that you might now know that your sins are forgiven and heaven is your home. This is what this Holy Week is really all about. Following Jesus to the cross through faith, recognizing that what he has to say and what he has done for us is beyond our knowledge, beyond our comprehension, and apart from faith, is simply foolishness. But it's not foolish to those who have faith. It is the truth of God, and it does bring hope. So yes, we have a hope here on earth, no doubt about it. because God's promises affect us while we're here on earth. But where we don't have that hope for life after death, then we are of all men most pitiable. Because this earth is not heaven. This earth is the abode of Satan. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel with Pastor Mark Smith, we're going to be talking about Holy Week. We have a short week here on KFUO. During my program on Friday, they have a Treor service. That's a three-hour worship service. And so we're not going to be here Friday. So we've got Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to talk about Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. And that's what we intend to start doing with Pastor Mark Smith tomorrow. Some insights that you might not have heard of before about Holy Week. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.